This is Larry Martinez with KSUAVE Radio, KSWV, with another legislative update. And I have as a guest the Honorable Christine Chandler, who is a state representative in the House of Representatives, representing Los Alamos County, among other counties in the area. And she has been she is the sponsor of House Bill 99, which is the medical malpractice reform changes bill. And first of all, I want to welcome you, Representative Chandler, and thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to meet with us and talk about what is a very serious issue confronting the state of New Mexico. And I understand that the motivation primarily for House Bill 99 was to try to increase the number of healthcare providers we've got in the state, and specifically try to place some caps on punitive damages when there are malpractice lawsuits, that sort of thing. So, now I understand that the bill did get amended in the House Health and Human Services Committee. Why don't you tell us what your basic motivation is and what you hope to achieve with the bill, and then how the amendment may have affected the bill?
Okay. So maybe we need to step back a little bit.
Certainly.
I think we've all been hearing from our constituents, and we ourselves have been experiencing problems in terms of scheduling appointments, healthcare appointments with our physicians and other healthcare providers in the state. Access to healthcare obviously is a critical issue for everyone in the state and, frankly, in the country.
Absolutely.
And we know there is definitely a doctor shortage in the state. And we're hearing also that doctors are leaving the state. So I think there are lots of reasons for that. It's not just one, but litigation and concerns about an aggressive medical malpractice system in the state is something that providers certainly are aware of and are concerned about. And it is affecting their decisions to stay here. And it is affecting our ability to recruit physicians into the state. So this summer, recognizing that we really needed to do something, and I think all of my colleagues recognize we need to do something, I spent a fair amount of time trying to understand what goes on in other states to see whether or not it's true that we're an outlier in terms of how we address medical malpractice. And my conclusion was, we are.
We are.
and, you know, it's not to say every state does things exactly the same way, but there clearly are, at least especially in the states that are near us, and that would be obviously Colorado, Arizona, Texas, there are guardrails in terms of how these cases are managed throughout the system. And I think we all know we want to ensure that someone who is injured through medical malpractice is fairly compensated. That's a given. That their medical cares are provided, their medical care is provided for, and their medical bills are taken care of.
And we do have in the state caps on other medical expenses.
Well, not quite, because I want to make people understand.
Yeah.
We have a cap in place now that we increased a few years ago.
Right.
That's on monetary damages for things like pain and suffering, emotional distress, so on. There is no cap on medical expenses. So I want to be clear at that. So people understand, we are not saying that anyone should be concerned about having their mental health care taken care of. Mm-hmm. It has to do with pain and suffering, emotional distress, you know, those sorts of things. There is a cap on hospitals now at $6 million.
Right.
A fairly significant cap, I would say, relative to how other states do it. It's probably about five times the cap in Colorado. So in Colorado, the cap is around $1 million.
So it's pretty generous in New Mexico if someone does file suit and gets a...
That is a point I want to underscore. Yes. We are not trying to impede someone's ability to get fair compensation. In no way are we trying to do that. So in looking, that's what I discovered. We have a generous system in place now, or a fair system in place now, but we have not addressed punitive damages. And when you look to what other states do, there are mechanisms in place to address the potential for runaway punitive damages. Mm-hmm. And that is... Runaway punitive damages is very concerning to all healthcare providers. Physicians, single practitioners, clinics, and hospitals. And we all need to be concerned about that because it's affecting the decision of the healthcare providers as to whether or not they want to stay or whether they'd rather practice, for example, in Colorado, where there is a cap not only on monetary damages, but also on punitive damages.
Well, and Representative, the manner in which it gets conveyed to the provider is they have to pay much higher insurance premiums because we don't have the same safeguards that are in existence in other states. We are having to, they're facing situations where they could be paying a lot more money than a provider being sued in another state.
True. And let's talk a little bit about that to be clear. Often policies don't cover punitive damages. So number one, that could be on the individual provider.
They have to pay it out of their own pockets.
Yes, right. Out of their own business. Mm-hmm. But punitive damages are routinely pled in cases. We know that. That is not true necessarily in other states. Mm-hmm. They're pled, meaning they're included in the lawsuit, because they're used as a leverage in settlement negotiations. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're used as leverage drives up the cost of the other damage is that you're willing to pay because you want your insurance provider to cover it. And you don't want to dispute with your insurance provider as to whether they're punitive damages or compensatory. So you work out a deal, but the deal's going to be at a higher level because there's always the threat of punitive damages if you go to trial. And so we're trying to get our arms around that.
Okay. Well, and I understand that the House Health and Human Services Committee did attach an amendment which sort of exempted the larger hospital systems from having the same sort of safeguards which you're trying to achieve for the smaller providers and the smaller hospitals, okay. Correct?
With respect to my colleagues in Health and Human Services, the amendment that they attached does not do what they think it does. First of all, the contention is it would provide protection only for individual providers. Well, the way they have phrased it, it would not cover a small practice. It would not cover a clinic. It would not cover an entity like iAssociates, whom all of us go to.
Right.
And it would also not cover the vast majority of hospitals in the state. It would only cover 5 hospitals in the state. So
its impact has been greatly reduced.
Yeah. It will protect almost no one.
Yeah.
And I think the intent was honorable and they were trying to do something, but it was poorly drafted. And frankly, I don't even agree with the concept. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where, frankly, large hospitals provide the majority of healthcare in this state. And that's true, frankly, across the country. We're not unique in that. That's the trend. Mm-hmm. They employ most of the doctors in the state. Mm-hmm. And those doctors are swept up in the litigations that are brought against the very large hospitals. Mm-hmm. And even if you accept that probably the hospitals are covering the damages that might be awarded against an individual doctor, those doctors are tied up for years defending activities that may be negligent, may not be negligent, but certainly was highly unlikely was intentional, and it affects their ability to provide care for other people because mm-hmm. they're being swept up in these litigations, and we need to give them some relief.
Well, one of the things that I was greatly impressed by with you was that your effort to try to make this a fair situation. It's not one in which it's a win or a loss for any side that's involved. You want this to be a win-win situation.
Yeah.
And the other thing that greatly impressed me, Representative Chandler, was the fact that you recognize, too, that this is not a cure-all, and we're not going to have all of a sudden a larger number of providers out there just because we do some malpractice reform, but it includes such things as the medical interstate compacts,
right.
That legislation that is doing quite well thus far in the legislative session. But there are other factors, you know, there's availability of other providers to whom they can refer. There's one problem that I was dealing with constantly at Presbyterian Medical Services in smaller and outlying communities was finding housing for providers. Not just affordable housing. Housing
interior. For residents who can't really make the big bucks.
Exactly. Right. General practitioners and family doctors.
Exactly. It's a multifold effort that the House and the Senate are working on. We're looking at increasing our healthcare provider loan repayment program significantly to try to bring doctors in so that we can pay off their significant medical school loans. Right. As you pointed out, there's this housing initiative. We want to increase the size of the medical school substantially.
Exactly.
This is all part of a plan. But I want to point something out to you. Doctors are worried about litigation. So we can try to recruit as many as we can, but if we don't provide them an environment where they feel safe, where they feel that they're not going to be subject to a vast array of litigation, they won't come here regardless of how rich our loan repayment program, how generous our housing programs are. We need to do all of the above to really to bring doctors here.
Well, having worked with quite a number of providers, I will say this, that many of them told me that they often felt that New Mexico was a hostile environment for a provider because of the possibility of litigation. Now, let me ask you a question. Given the fact that the amendment was attached by the House Health and Human Services Committee, and I understand it now is going to be heard by the House Judiciary Committee, what is your stance going to be with respect to the legislation? You want to see if you can possibly maybe strengthen it again by putting some other provisions in it, or where do you feel? How do you feel about it?
I have filed an amendment to the bill, and it removes the amendment that was placed in House Health. As I mentioned, there are two problems. One is it's poorly drafted. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the fact. And two, I don't buy into the concept that we should have differences in terms of the big hospitals are still going to be subject to potentially gigantic punitive damage awards. I'm going to recommend that we go back to a cap that's reasonable. And by reasonable, I mean similar to what we have for monetary. And as I said before, our caps are higher than anywhere else I've been able to find in the state. So we're not trying to lowball people. We're not trying to deny people access to fair compensation. And the punitive damages, remember, is not compensation for the patient. Right. It's intended to serve a societal goal,
which is improve the quality of care.
Exactly, and discourage bad practices. Mm-hmm. So that's within our bailiwick. That's within our wheelhouse as a legislature to decide what's appropriate policy and, quote, punishment. We do that all the time in the criminal context, and and fines and penalties for all kinds of environmental things. We cap them. Mm-hmm. We cap fines. We cap, you could call it something else, but we cap criminal penalties.
Exactly.
There are ranges. Mm-hmm. We do not give the jury infinite discretion as to how to sentence someone. And in fact, in sentencing, judges make those determinations, right, not juries.
So, altogether different branch of government.
Exactly. So, I think what I'm proposing is very fair and reasonable. It will ensure patients get fair compensation. At the same time, also provide an environment that I think is more reasonable for the healthcare providers in the state. Hopefully, we can bring some more in.
Well, Representative, let me just say that as you well know, and as you have well stated in the past, one of the critical issues facing the state is our quality of life in New Mexico, which includes our educational system, our healthcare system, and so forth. And this is such a critical part. And, to some extent, this legislative session has become the sort of healthcare session because we're trying to address a lot of issues. And by the way, the work began in the 2025 session and previous special legislative sessions that were called.
Yes.
Because we've got the Medicaid Trust Fund, the Behavioral Health Trust Fund, and now there are some efforts to put more money into them to improve the state's standing with respect to the federal budget that's coming down.
Exactly.
So let me just say that this is, I think we're very fortunate in New Mexico to have some a legislator such as yourself, who is as knowledgeable as you are with respect to these healthcare issues. And this is clearly one of those issues which is going to have an impact on the lives of our citizens.
And thank you for that. And I really hope that it does. I hope we can get something that's reasonable through the session this year, during this legislative session.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule. I know you're juggling committee hearings and floor session and everything else, but best of luck to you. And thank you for the work you do for our citizens of the state. And I keep reminding our citizens that we don't have a paid legislature, and we've got a volunteer one. And you're a very dramatic example from my perspective of how much you work and work so hard in the best interests of our state, without any compensation other than some of your expenses.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and share my perspectives on medical malpractice reform.
Well, thank you so much. And once again, this is a legislative update for KSWV Radio. I would urge our listeners to continue to follow them, because we are tracking a lot of very critical legislation that is going to have an impact on the quality of life in New Mexico. So, thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.